You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, I got you. Nothing to laugh about here. Worst year ever. Canceled everything. I just found out they canceled Christmas. What's the point? What's the point of anything? Just see what's on the tube.
We will make America strong again. And yes, together, we will make America great again.
Honey, round up the reindeer, get the elves. Christmas is a go this year.
Thanks, Santa, and I agree. Christmas is on. It's going to be the best ever. It's been a tough year, but it's going to end great. Get out those Christmas decorations, put up that tree, and get into the Christmas spirit because the King is with us. Make this the best Christmas ever. 323-8650.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
To the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you. Good afternoon. 33 years of continuous political talk in Southern Arizona. And from the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. A great lineup of guests today as we explore the end of the year 2022, the year that was, the politics that changed the landscape of America. We'll be talking with Matt Klink, one of the most respected GOP consultants in America. He is also a political contributor to Channel 5 in Los Angeles, one of the most viewed television stations in all of the country. Don Jorgensen will be with us, former chair of the Pima County Democrats. The good, the bad, the ugly. Of the year 2022, a year of review, this show. Matt Klink's with us now. Matt has more than three decades of experience working on complex and controversial high-profile issues for public and private sector clients, as well as candidates for elective office. Matt Klink, one of the most respected GOP consultants in America. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show. Happy holidays.
Hi, John. Happy holidays to you, too.
Give me a good, bad, and the ugly for the GOP in 2022.
Well, the good is they won the House. The bad is that the red wave turned out to be a red little ripple. And the ugly is it's probably the poor candidate quality that really hurt the Republican Party across the board, particularly in high-profile Senate seats like Arizona and Pennsylvania and Georgia.
You know, I haven't ordered my Trump card yet. I'm thinking about it as a gift, really a gift for somebody I really don't like very well. But the more Trump does these things, the more astounded I am, but I'm almost numb to it now. We've never seen anything like this. We never have, and hopefully we never will again. But where is the Trump position now as far as any power in America? He still has some, but how much does he have? How long is he going to be around? And how the hell do we get rid of him?
Well, he certainly does have, he still has power or some power in America. The challenge, though, is that I think even the rank-and-file Republicans are getting tired of him, and they think that there are other candidates, Ron DeSantis being top on that list at the moment, that present an opportunity to elect a Republican president that doesn't have the baggage or the personality flaws that former President Trump has.
You know, there's a chance that criminal referrals could come from the January 6th committee of the House day after tomorrow. A president of the United States with a criminal referral to the Justice Department. What do you think is going to happen Monday?
You know, John, I'll believe it when I see it. I think that they certainly may make some criminal referrals, but ultimately it's up to Attorney General Merrick Garland to decide if he wants to head down that path. You know, Donald Trump has been accused of doing a lot of different things, all the way from colluding with Russia to now whatever the January 6th committee is going to recommend. You know, at this point, the Justice Department, either they have to, you know, put up or shut up at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, criminal referral is that's serious business, obviously, for a former president. Historic.
So is two impeachments. But again, until he is actually on trial for something, it really is just rhetoric designed to ultimately weaken him. And clearly it has. But I think that Donald Trump has slid more because of his just wacky behavior. The cards, the trading cards you just referenced, are the latest example. But I mean, even looking back at his, he cost Republicans a Senate seat in Pennsylvania. You know, he was the one who really was instrumental in pushing Herschel Walker in Georgia. He was behind Blake Masters and Kerry Lake in Arizona. Both seats, I think, that were winnable for even a more mainstream Republican candidate. And I think that people are kind of looking at it and said, he's run his course, and they just want someone else. So, look, whether or not he is tried and convicted, that there's a lot of road between here and there. But, you know, Trump's end has been predicted by many, and it hasn't happened yet. I think that that time and Donald Trump himself are going to take care of that.
If he can hold his base, and assuming it's diminishing, there's no question about that, maybe from 40%, 30 to 25, whatever it is, it's still a significant part of the Republican Party. What can he do to the party that is more damaging than he's already done? He still has the power to take that group of followers and hurt the party. I assume that he does. And I do not assume that he won't.
So the challenge here is that what Donald Trump hopes for is a very large candidate field in 2024, because that will allow him to bring his base right now. I think it's probably about 20 to 25%. It allows him to bring his base, and in a large candidate field, he could squeak out a win. But if you have a smaller candidate field with three or four candidates, the likelihood of Donald Trump pulling through becomes much, much more difficult. You know, it remains to be seen whether he would leave the party and take people with him. I think that people would flee him like rats fleeing a sinking ship, if that were to be the case. But again, this is Donald Trump, and accurately predicting what's in his head is very, very difficult.
I started the show by saying that the political landscape changed dramatically in 2022. I believe it did, at least the landscape that you and I perceived in the summer of this last year, for the simple fact that we all were predicting a Republican sweep of the House, 60-vote margin, and at least a few more senators that were in the GOP. But the truth of the matter is, I believe that the Republican Party has to go through some reconstruction. If that's true, what would that reconstruction look like to you?
Well, I mean, don't forget, the Republican Party actually, in the House, they won votes in 2020. And they have a larger governing majority, assuming that Kevin McCarthy can get 218 votes in the House on the upcoming session of Congress. But look, the Republican Party does need to go through some soul searching. Are they going to be the conservative populist party that they've been heading in recent years? Are they going to fuse traditional, the equivalent of what I would call Reagan Republicanism, which would be, more internationalist, more fiscal conservative, with that populist base? I don't know if that's even possible. So, look, both parties are going through this. The Democrats are going through it right now. They've successfully had a change, and they have a much more youthful leadership team in place with Hakeem Jeffries and others in Washington, D.C. And frankly, I think one of the most fascinating political developments is Kyrsten Sinema leaving the Democratic Party because I think that she feared getting primaried by Mr. Gallego, who would give her a run for her money because he's more progressive than she is. So, politics is never static. It's fluid. And I think that there's so much going on right now that between now and even the end of next year, so many things are going to change that we can't even predict them all.
I talked to my Democratic friends. They hate Kyrsten Sinema. They don't dislike her. They hate her. She has angered at least the Democrats that I talked to beyond what I would ever have imagined with her. I don't know how serious that is to her. Could she win as an independent? Is that possible?
She absolutely could. You're right. Democrats do dislike her or hate her, in part because she won, wouldn't go along with their massive spending plan that Joe Biden wanted, and two, because she didn't want to get rid of the filibuster, which would, if you want to fundamentally change the character of the United States, get rid of the filibuster in the Senate and watch the country lurch left and right. That would be a disaster. The Federalist Papers talked about the Senate being the saucer that cools the tea, that slows things down on purpose, that allows decisions to not reflect the majority perspective, but to take into account broader views. And keeping that filibuster is essential. Just look at what happened when Harry Reid got rid of the filibuster for certain appointees. Thank you. The Republicans now have three additional Supreme Court justices. So there will always be unintended consequences. And I know that, political ease of the Democrats having very, very narrow majorities in 2020 and 2021, they thought that they could punch above their weight. And thankfully, between Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin in West Virginia, they were able to slow that down.
It's been talked about at the Speaker of the House is someone who must be able to herd cats, which you can imagine that. What's McCarthy's chances of survival in this kind of atmosphere? It doesn't look good. I've met him once, by the way, at a home of a Republican powerhouse here in Tucson. He was with some other Congress people. One guy came up to me and I was talking about saying, "Well, I just saw McCarthy here," and he went, "He's dumber than nine chickens." I've used that phrase over and over again. That's where it came from. But I don't know how smart McCarthy is, but I do know he's not loved by all, and he's going to have a hell of a time managing these cats if he gets the chance at all. What are his chances, Matt?
Well, I think put it this way: if he can't do it, there's nobody in the Republican caucus that can. Here's the challenge: is you've got these Freedom Party members, and they're Representative Biggs from Arizona, who is going to challenge Kevin McCarthy, even though he's already lost. Basically, what they're saying is they want to be able to call a special procedural vote to the term of art is vacate the chair, meaning that they could literally, if a tough vote comes up, they could say, we don't want Kevin McCarthy to be speaker anymore. And then according to House rules, everything stops and they have to go through a lengthy debate to get relitigate who's going to be speaker or not.
Wow.
And Kevin McCarthy would be literally cutting his, severely weakening himself if he agrees to that, even before he assumes the speaker's gavel. So, look, I think ultimately he'll get it. Like all speakers, he will be forced to make some compromises. If he doesn't, it may be a while. We know that Hakeem Jeffries already has 213 votes. So, if Kevin McCarthy doesn't get the requisite number of votes, we may see a quick change in speakership that will then tell the Republicans realize that they really screwed things up, and then they'll get it back again. But it's, you know, Kevin McCarthy is just going to have to, I mean, do what he's doing, talk to a lot of members, make sure that he can build coalitions, and hopefully that, you know, these Freedom Caucus members realize that, you know, chaos is not necessarily a good thing, especially when you've just won the majority and you have an important role to play in keeping democracy moving forward.
We're talking with Matt Klink, GOP consultant and strategist from Los Angeles. Matt, I need to take a break. I want to come back and talk about the extreme portion of the Republican Party as well as the extreme portion of the Democratic Party as we take a look at this year in review of 2022. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Thank you. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
From Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest, Matt Klink, GOP strategist and consultant from Los Angeles. At the extremes on both sides of the party, let's talk about their influence in the new Congress. And there will be influence, no question about that. What a liability do they hold for the Republican Party as they try to change their image from Trumpism to, I would assume, establishmentism, if there is such a word? But how influential is this extreme in the GOP? We'll find out in this speaker battle, will we not?
I think it's going to play a very large role in it. As we were just saying before the break, with some members of the Freedom Caucus who were dead set on not voting for Kevin McCarthy under any conditions, you know, that becomes problematic when you only have a 5-seat edge in terms of split between Republicans and Democrats. So, you know, and look, ultimately, I think that, you know, something will ultimately happen. I think Kevin McCarthy, the odds are is that he will be the next Speaker of the House. The road to get there, from the start of the new Congress in early January, probably won't be straight. It's going to have many twists and turns. But then you still have some of the other more wacky members, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, whose comments about January 6th most recently were disturbing, to say the least. You know, people like Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz. Again, that I just think that the news media loves to cover them because they're so off the beaten path. But then you flip that around, and the Democrats also have their members. You know, the squad is still out there that are, you know, continually causing problems for the Biden administration with their woke mentality on a lot of different things. So and with 435 members, the outliers always make for good copy or for good TV or for good radio, for that matter.
Well, Matt, first of all, let me thank you for all of the contributions you've made to the show over the last few years. It's always been well received by this audience. I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of response to your commentary. You're still on Channel 5, I guess. How many years have you done this political consulting for the Los Angeles area? Quite a few.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've been on Channel 5 for probably about the last 15 years. I'm very fortunate that they still asked me on. And, you know, I've been a professional political consultant on January 2nd, heading into my 32nd year. So I love what I do. It's never a dull moment. And it's fun to talk about, you know, especially with so much change happening so quickly, it seems lately. It's exciting to talk politics. And I'm just happy that people are interested in it. And want to talk about it, hopefully in a productive way.
I think they do. I think people want to talk about it. I think they need to talk about it. This country is divided. It will remain divided for some time, but we have to bring it together to be what we want to be, all of us, no matter what path we are taking in this political trip that we're all on. But again, thank you so much, Matt. I have the greatest respect for you, and I am so grateful that you've agreed to share some of your views with our audience. It has been a sheer pleasure. I wish you the very best of the holidays. Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Same to you. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you. Matt Klink on Channel 5. By the way, Channel 5 is just a giant in Los Angeles. I mean, it's a 12 million people market. And when you dominate a market like that with your newscast and you have a political contributor like Matt Klink, it shows not only how well-respected Matt Klink is, but how well Los Angeles is served by his continued commentary. Coming up next, Don Jorgensen, one of the smartest people I know. He's the former chair of the Pima County Democrats. It has been a year of drama and success for the Democratic Party. But can they build on that for 2024? We'll talk about the past and future with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party, after the news break.
Oh, Donner, easy blitzin'. Slower, slower. Oh, reindeer poop.
Perfection Auto Works. Santa, it's been a while.
It's about to sleigh, Mike.
Time for those iridium reindeer plugs we talked about?
No, minor front end damage. The reindeer brakes just wouldn't hold.
Okay, hang on. Hello, Merles? Full brake set for a... Hang on a minute. Santa, what year is that sleigh? Okay. Merles, listen. Full brake set for a 37 sleigh. No, including the rotors. A full set. Okay. Santa, major tune-up as long as you're going to be here?
Why not? Talk to me about that Jado bottle again.
Perfection Auto Works. From the hood to the trunk latch. From sleigh brakes to motor mounts. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Or 323-8650. That's 323-8650.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Don Jorgensen is my guest, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Happy holidays, and to you and your great family, Don Jorgensen, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, John, and Merry Christmas to you and your family as well.
Thank you so much. Let's talk a little bit about how the Democrats build on the success of 2022. What's to stop them from sliding back to where they were to going forward from where they are?
Complacency, in a word, because there are, as great as the midterms were, and I mean, Democrats should rightfully celebrate all that happened with such a strong president and in Arizona, such a positive outcome. There were also some warning signs for 2024. And that's why I say Democrats have to continue to move forward and not just assume that what worked this year in 2022 will work in 2024, because the electorate's changing. Let's look at Arizona. There was a missed opportunity to at least get an equal number of seats in the Arizona House. The Democrats lost a seat, even though there was redistricting and that had a huge impact. There was still a seat over in the Yuma area that Democrats could have won and held on to. But I think there were some miscalculations there that cost that seat and cost a 30-30 tie in the House. You see what happened with the superintendent of public instruction race. It's an absolute outrage that, the human being like Tom Horn won that race against Kathy Hoffman, who had done a tremendous job. So the Democrats can't afford to take their eye off of any ball going into 2024. The presidential election will suck up a lot of the oxygen, but we're going to have a critical Senate race that now is going to be further confused by our friendly neighborhood former Democrat, Kyrsten Sinema. And you're going to have opportunities perhaps to gain back a congressional seat down here in southern Arizona. But Democrats are going to have to engage the newer voters even more. They can't take for granted that younger voters are going to automatically vote Democrat. They certainly can't take for granted that minority voters are going to vote Democrat. They have to do the work, and they have to bring in some new leadership in Arizona to do so.
I don't think they can take for granted either that the GOP is going to put up another group of yahoos that they put up in 2022. You just couldn't find dumber people. You just couldn't. I don't know how they did that. But they came up with some of the more unqualified, stupid people that ever ran for office. And I've followed politics in Arizona for 50 years. I mean, I've been close to this for a good portion of my life. And this was the worst slate of candidates that any party has put up in my lifetime. It was incredulous what these idiots did. And they paid for the price of being stupid. They just were defeated. So, by the way, 24 U.S. senators up for re-election that are Democrats in 2024. It's going to be very challenging.
Well, 23 now and one independent.
Right. You're exactly. Good point. Excellent. Yeah. Very good. What do you think the fate of Kyrsten Sinema is?
It's really hard to say, other than it's not going to be pleasant. I don't think it'll be pleasant for her. I don't think it'll be pleasant for the voters. You know, people outside of Arizona seem to think it's a bit of a surprise, although for Democrats in Arizona, it was no surprise at all. As you know, her approval rating among Arizona Democrats was at best in the teens.
Wow. You know,
and that's a drop over in past 2 years from where she had the majority of support. But, you know, clearly the Democrats in Arizona saw a betrayal of her principles and a betrayal of the principles under which they voted for her. And the result of that was predicted, and she understood that, as did every Arizona Democrat, that she has no chance of winning a Democratic primary in 2024. And perhaps she sees this as her only way to maintaining her seat. The challenge there for her, or the problem, the reality, is that she now has no constituency. She doesn't have Democrats. She doesn't have Republicans. She could never get the majority of Republicans, or I think even a significant number, to vote for her, because you have such a fractured GOP. And independents are not a party. Independents are scattered across the spectrum, as you know. So there's no guarantees there. The only guarantee with her running as an independent is it increases the chance of even a crazy Republican, if a Kari Lake or Blake Masters decides to run again for the Senate seat, gives them a chance to actually win. And if a Doug Ducey decides to run, she could siphon off, even if she siphons off 5% of the Democrats and a small percentage of independent voters, that's enough to throw it to the Republican candidate. And that's the danger there. So the only power she holds is to lose the seat for the Democrats and give it to the Republicans. So I think our best hope is that Joe Biden intervenes and appoints her ambassador to Timbuktu, and Katie Hobbs can appoint her replacement. But I don't see that happening either.
I don't either. Let's talk a little bit about the demographics of 2022. There was so much talk after some success of the Republican Party with some Democrats within the Hispanic community in Texas that kind of reversed itself in 2022 from 2020. But do you see the Democratic Party holding on to this vast number of Hispanics or traditionally Democrats? And what was your evaluation of the youth vote in 2022 as Democrats sought anxiously to hold that new generation of Democrats and keep them in the fold? They obviously did both in 2022. How can they hold on to that? Both issues.
Well, starting with the youth vote, I think they have a great opportunity to continue to hold the youth vote, because when you look at the kind of values of the majority of young people today, they align with Democratic values of equality, of respect for LGBT rights, for women's rights, for voting rights, and they see now that that's under threat. They also support common sense gun laws, for example. So when you look across the board at what the majority of young people value, they're in line with Democratic values. And it's up to the Democrats to get that message across and engage with them to be able to, I think, grow that constituency, frankly. The Hispanics is a different question altogether. And the biggest mistake that Democrats have made, since we're talking about Democrats, is assuming that it's a monolithic group. It's not. When you look at Florida, the Hispanic population in Florida is very different than the Hispanic population in Texas, which is very different from Arizona. So the key is to, again, look at what are the issues that these populations in these areas are most concerned about, starting with, as always, economic opportunity. And Democrats cannot take that for granted, have to focus on it. The border issue is different among all those states. And as you know, folks in Arizona of all stripes have a much better understanding of that than anyone in Washington. The Democrats have to understand that, too. But you start with the fact that these are a population, I'm generalizing now, that put economic values right alongside family values. And so that's where the opportunity is, because Democrats support, for example, expanded child care tax credits that support families that are working and also want to care for the children. They support education for all. And if the Democrats keep that at the forefront, then they will earn those votes and I think can increase that population. But just targeting it based on demographic politics or race politics is a loser.
We're talking with Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Don, I want to take a break, but I want you to come back, talk about Tucson as a Democratic stronghold, which indeed it is. The entire city council of Tucson's all Democrat. The majority of the board of supervisors, Democrat. Democrats dominate at least half of the legislative districts within the boundaries of Tucson, and we assume that it will stay that way. What would we benefit as a community if what was at once a very influential Republican Party that could elect Republicans to the city council and to the board of supervisors, what have we lost because of the weakness of the Republican Party, if at all? We'll talk with Don Jorgensen more after these messages from the Perfection Auto Works studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back in a moment. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessories store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blogfare Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blogfare Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. My guest is Don Jorgensen, former chair of the Democratic Party in Pima County. Well, Don, we've had Republicans elected to the city council. We've had two pretty darn great Republican mayors, Lou Murphy, Bob Walker, mostly beloved by this community. Would we be stronger with a two-party system in our governing bodies of Pima County? And what do we lose with the weakness of the Republican Party, if anything?
Well, we'd certainly be stronger if we had stronger Republican candidates. Obviously, I still want to see the Democrats win, but it would that at least stronger candidates, stronger messaging from the Republican Party would force the Democrats to really address some tough issues, and not that they don't, but perhaps get other viewpoints, other input that will provide for maybe a larger discussion, a better overall decision with regard to these key issues. But I'll tell you a quick story about why we don't. And again, it's the Republicans that really have lost because of self-inflicted wounds. Right after I first became county chair, the Democratic Party, we engaged in supporting an effort by one of the city council members on a Tucson gun buyback program. I was out there with the city council person who was a Republican, so it was a bipartisan effort to make the streets a little safer. Across the street from this, it was at one of the city police substations, across the street were a group of Republicans protesting their own city council member who was leading this effort. And so that was the turn. They had a Republican city council person who was pretty outspoken, pretty well known, was going to win his seat because re-election was coming up that year as well. But about 5 days after that occurred, he called me and said, Don, it was great to meet you. I'm going to change from Republican to Democrat. And that's how they lost Steve Kozacik as a Republican city council person, because they protested one of their own, and he saw where things were going there. So they run their reasonable candidates and reasonable members out of the party. You mentioned two great ones from the past, Murphy and Walkup. I doubt either of those folks could win a Republican primary today. Just like we talked last time about Jim Colby, the same thing. So until the Republican Party kind of cleans house and decides that, you know, they want to be a serious party again, I don't think we're going to see that opportunity. Therefore, again, it's incumbent on the Democrats to take the issues that, again, are at the front of the minds of the citizens of Tucson seriously. And you could probably name those as better than anyone, John, because a lot of those issues don't change.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we have still a terrible carnage on our streets. I mean, you just can't pick up a paper any day that doesn't show some death from either a motorcycle rider or a pedestrian struck down. And, you know, we've tried to get a handle on that, and we haven't. Still dangerous on our streets. And certainly we have a police force that's understaffed, undermanned. And I think we all pay a price for that. You have a burglary in your home, file a report. You have an accident with nobody hurt, file your own report. I mean, you just have to ask yourself, the last time, you know, I called and policemen came by my house because there was a problem, then people can't even remember that, because so much of it is really determined by the lack of police in our community. which I think is really an issue that's going to come up in the city elections in 2023. So, you know, I've always watched the Republican Party, and I've respected Walkup and respected Murphy and other council people, Ronstadt and others, Kathleen Dunbar and others, who have served the community well. But until we have a two-party system, we're just going to have a two-party Democratic majority that I guess can fill in, because we don't have any opposition to the majority. So we'll see.
Well, you're right. And that's, again, why it's incumbent upon our Democratic leaders to understand and respect the concerns of the voters, starting, as you say, with kind of crime and security and safety. That's number one. That's what's on people's minds every day. The second one, as always, in Tucson, and I heard this in Pima County yesterday, folks still complaining about why can't they get their roads repaired. That's always an issue. And then you have the issues that also affect small businesses, from homelessness in Tucson to business regulations. I mean, these aren't difficult issues to identify. They're on people's minds every day. And if there are visible signs of improvement in all of those areas, again, the Democrats will not just continue to win, but I think, again, grow their support as they continue to improve Tucson and Pima County, which, again, are great places to live, great places to raise a family. And that has to stay at the forefront of any elected official's mind. We have some great ones, and I'm confident they can do it. But again, the biggest danger when you have the majority party like we do is that kind of complacency and taking the voters for granted. Democrats can't do that.
How well prepared in 2023 is the Democratic Party to build on the success of 2022 into 2024? Do you see a continued improvement in the Democratic effort, or was this just a one-time deal?
I think it's interesting you ask that, John, because I think we're at a real inflection point right now, both at the state party level and at the county party. Pima County just elected a new party chair, and new party leadership. So it will be real interesting to see what their goals are. You know, if it's, they did a great job at registering voters and getting out the vote in 2022, but each year is different. And as you say, it's 23 leading into 2024. So again, is the focus going to be on engagement with those, I'd say, vulnerable populations in terms of switching their allegiances, switching their votes? As you mentioned, the minority population, the youth population, those others, or are they going to, again, continue with the same efforts? If you do the same thing year after year, you lose ground. With the state party, as I said, I think there were a lot of missed opportunities in 2022, so I hope whoever is elected as the new leadership there, again, look at what it's going to take to win in 2024, not what it took to win in 2022, because, again, that would be a losing proposition.
I think the Democratic Party really failed to take an opportunity in this last year to at least take one house, probably the House of Representatives, perhaps even the Senate. They've been so close, just one vote away in the House and then a couple votes away in the Senate. And here was an opportunity when the Republicans had the weakest candidate in their history, their whole slew of candidates. There was a movement against this craziness of the Republican Party with independents. And still, the Republicans held the House and the Senate. And I don't think the Democratic Party really targeted and put the effort that was necessary to take one of these houses, either the House or the Senate. And it was a real missed opportunity, don't you think?
In two ways. Number one, there were some winnable seats that the Democrats, I think, took for granted and didn't put the resources or attentions to, as we mentioned, as the one in Southwestern.
Got about 30 seconds. Yeah, go ahead.
Could have picked one up there. And then the other side of it is, if this happens in 2024, it'll be a political crime not to have a Democratic candidate for every seat open.
Don Jorgensen, happy holidays to you and your wonderful family. Thanks for being a part of our show. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
And the same to you, John. It's always a privilege and a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Don Jorgensen. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Happy holidays to you. We'll talk to you after the first of the year. The last two shows will be repeated on Christmas weekend as well as the New Year's weekend. Hope you'll enjoy them one more time.
Perfection Auto Works.
Ho, ho.
Who is this?
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, Santa. It's good to hear from you again.
Ho, ho, yes. Small collision with the lead power unit.
You ran over Rudolph?
Ho, ho. Minor front end damage. Can you fix his nose light?
Hang on just a minute. Hello, Merles. Do you guys have a nose bulb for an 01 reindeer? No. In red. Thanks. Santa, it'll be here in about 15 minutes. By the way, did you do the 26-point inspection I told you about last year?
Say, now you're starting to sound like Mrs. Claus.
You're missing out.
This is Mike Emery of Perfection Auto Works. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and
reindeer. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650.